Good evening and welcome. I can tell that we're ready now that we've had Charlie Brown music and a breakdancing four-year-old in the front, so we must be ready for Christmas Eve. We begin with our opening words by Reverend Mary Wellemeyer, entitled appropriately, Christmas Eve Night. Like those shepherds who were on the hillsides with their flocks, like those wise ones in their observatories with their telescopes and charts, we find our daily work interrupted by these holidays. Like them, we can't keep on working. We have to listen to singing angels. We have to deal with the call of that special star. The little town of Bethlehem is thronged with people who have come to be taxed, crowding streets and shops, and we have to find our way to an unknown place where a wonderful new beginning awaits. What precious new beginning are you seeking this night? For what do you push through the crowds? What have the angels told you? And what is the call of the star?
All kinds of stories are told at Christmas, and I thought this year I'd like to maybe surprise you with one that you're not expecting. So snuggle in with your adult, if you're a child, or even if you're not a child. This story is based on one written in about 1930 by a man named Rourke Bradford, but I've had to adapt it quite a bit. Whenever there was a family gathering, it always happened that the adults migrated to the kitchen. You know, there was salad to make or dishes to wash, maybe wine to sip on. And it was the children who occupied the living room. Maybe it's like that at your house, too. Well, it was the middle of winter, and that's the way it was again. The oldest cousins had collected quite a few stuffies and a baby doll, a box, and some raffia. They were busy setting something up in the living room while the youngest cousins were still in the kitchen, hanging on to their mom's apron strings. And so pretty soon, though, the mums all agreed, it's time. Go play with your big sisters. Go play with your cousins. And off they went. Well, what is that? Said Jimmy. What are you doing? Oh, we're setting up Christmas, the story of Christmas. Where's Santa? He's not in this story. It's the story of baby Jesus, when baby Jesus was born. It's the first story. Santa's older. What do you mean? Well, he's got a long white beard. Yeah, but this is the story. This is the story of baby Jesus. He was born a king. You mean like a king that puts people in dungeons and stuff? Not that kind of king. The conversation continued back and forth like that. It was starting to get a little bit heated because Jimmy just really thought Santa should be there. And it might have turned nasty, but just then there was a creak. It was the sound of the lever on the recliner. No one had even seen that Grandma was there in the living room. She pulled on that recliner, sat up, and she said, sounds like we have a little bit of a theological debate going on. None of the kids really knew what that meant. But they could see by the twinkle in Grandma's eyes that it would be worth going a little closer to the chair. And sure enough, she continued. She says, you guys are talking about how come Christmas. Well, I'll tell you how come. It happened just like this. Santa and Mrs. Claus were sitting in the living room. The fire was glowing. It was lovely and warm. Their hot chocolate was delicious. And just then, the phone rang. Mrs. Claus went over and answered it.
No. Really? Well, goodness gracious. She hung up the phone. Santa, you won't believe it, but Miss Mary has gone and had her baby. It's a cold night to be having a baby, said Santa. Well, that's not the half of it, said Mrs. Claus. She was busy doing all that work. She was busy feeding the animals out in the barn. And the labor came on so fast, that's where the baby was born, in the barn. Oh, it's very cold night to be doing something like that, said Santa. She said, it's not the half of it. They say that Miss Mary's baby is so beautiful. He obviously is a king. Oh, said Santa. Oh, I gotta go see that baby. I love babies. And I miss our, now that our kids are all grown up, I still love them lots, but I wish they were still babies sometimes. That's because you never change their diapers. Well, maybe so, but even so, I gotta go see that baby. We don't have a gift, though, said Mrs. Claus. Santa had spotted the shiny red apples in the bowl on the table. I'll bring one of those. And there was no stopping him. He was already at the coat rack, putting on his red jacket, grabbed the most beautiful of the apples, put it in his pocket, put on his cap and his gloves and his galoshes, and out he went. Well, it wasn't hard to find the way to the barn. It was like there was a floodlight or something, except it was a star shining very brightly. Led him right to the barn. He pushed the door open, and then he began to feel a bit uncomfortable. Maybe Mrs. Claus has been right, because there were stacks of gold, silver. There was, I don't know, was that incense? Santa wondered. Some other strange stuff. But then he saw the baby. Oh, and he couldn't resist. He went straight over to the baby, and he said, kitchy, 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 goo. And then he pulled his apple out, and he covered it. And then he said, where'd the apple go? There it is. Where'd it go? There it is. And the baby began to smile, a bigger and bigger smile. And Santa went back, kitchy-kitchy-coo, kitchy-coo, peek-a-boo. And then all of a sudden, that baby reached up with his arms and grabbed hold of Santa's beard. Ha! He had a good laugh then. And Santa laughed, too. And then all of a sudden, he felt like there were... You know how it is when somebody's watching you? You can feel it. And he looked, who was watching him? Oh, said Santa. Oh, it was God. And God said, oh, you have one incredible gift. Santa said, oh, I'm kind of embarrassed, actually. Everybody else had such fancy stuff. I just had this red apple. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about, said God. You've got a wonderful way with children. You are so good with children, I am going to work a miracle on you. A miracle? On me? Said Santa. Yeah, said God. I want you to go on making children, all children, happy. All children, said Santa? All the time? God, you know, I think it's okay for children to be a little bored some of the time, or to work a bit. And you've got to give them a chance to make a bit of mischief, too. No, how about you make them happy one day a year? Oh, I could do that, said Santa. I could do one day a year. What day should I do, though? Well, how about on this little baby's birthday? On Jesus' birthday. Seems like a good day. Oh, okay, said Santa. But can I just ask one thing? Could you maybe give Mrs. Claus that same gift, that same miracle of immortality that you're giving me? God smiled. He agreed. And that's the way it's been ever since. One day a year, Santa Claus is busy making children all over the world happy. Well, as Grandma finished her story, little Jimmy and Paula were smiling. They didn't notice that Grandma winked a bit at the older cousins. They went back to the creche and began to play. It was much more peaceful then. And a little while later, when Grandma began to recount the more traditional story of Christmas, the children were still all ears, just as we will be as we recount the story of Christmas here through song and readings.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And now please join us in singing, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that Mary should be delivered. And she brought her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward all.
Those of you who know me know that I am ripe to call an audible on what I said I was going to do. And I thought that Faye's story was too good, so instead of coming up with a contemporary lesson, I wrote you a homily instead. Every year, when Christmas comes around again, I find that different characters or different aspects of the story of this New Testament account we're sharing with you again resonate with me. One year, it's the awe and trembling of the shepherds. Another, it's the silent, steady witness of Joseph. And still others, it is imagining what on earth heavenly host might look like. Or perhaps I will think about just that deep, still night, or what a stable might be like for a birthplace. This year, I find I have been drawn back to the focal point of the story, baby Jesus himself, both the infant and all that his birth represents. I realized as I was reflecting on Christmas that I think we need Christmas. We need moments like Christmas at least annually. It would probably be better for our souls if something like Christmas came around more than once a year. Can I get an amen for that? Because they do for us what rituals do for us. They invite us to pause, to take stock of where we are and how we are at this moment in our lives. We pay attention and notice small details. We mark the time as meaningful and look at how Christmas finds us this year. It's kind of like a spiritual checkup moment. Christmas as a physical for the soul, if you will. So what does Christmas have to tell you this year? Are you still able to see magic in it, or have you grown so cynical and jaded, it's just another day? Here are the three lessons on my heart this year. One, I like this image of the baby Jesus, or as a colleague of mine once said, baby God. Whatever your theology about the divinity of Jesus, I like the image of the reminder that Jesus represents of the holy takes many forms. The sacred takes many forms, often unexpected forms, common forms, even fragile forms at that. We can encounter that beauty and magic in many ways and at all times, Christmas seems to remind us. And yet, in this time of year, we can sort of have a guidepost in rereading this story and in hearing these songs. Christmas is a reminder to stay alert, to keep your eye out for where the holy might show up next. Lesson number two for me is that we sometimes hear lots of hokey messages at Christmas, don't we? They're a little bit groan-inducing, and yet they have a little bit of truth in them. You know the kinds of things I'm talking about, that there's a gift in the gifts, that there's presence in the presents, that we should take this opportunity to focus once again on connection and love, not on physical gifts. It's true, though, isn't it, that we can and should recall that the most precious gifts that we have ever and will ever receive in our lives can't be wrapped, and that the most important present that we can offer to anyone in our lives is not a tangible gift, but a substantive way of being. Lesson number three for me this year is the person of Jesus himself. Infant possibility, and then rabbi of justice making. It seems to me that we could especially use a Prince of Peace right about now. Given the state of our world, we could certainly use a God, a baby in any kind of form that grows into a tireless advocate for those on the margins of society. For me this year, Christmas is a reminder that we too can be bearers of peace, instruments of hope, bringers of love. And in fact, my friends, we will need to be. We will desperately need to be if there is ever to be more room in the inn that is our world. Peace on earth and goodwill to all. It's not just for Christmas, but Merry Christmas anyway.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
It is communion of candlelight, the magic of Christmas, the glow in your heart as well as in your hand. Remind you that you are a bearer of peace, a bringer of love, a hope giver, not only this Christmas season, but every season. Be that love and that hope and that peace now and always. Merry Christmas.